We are going to have an interesting conversation coming up next because we've got two returnees, two of my favorite people in the world, Diane Abbott and Bernadette Abruzzi. Welcome back, gang.
Hi.
Good to be back.
So you two are going to be joined any minute now by two very young male millennials who are in the elevator lobby and almost up in the studio. You guys have been together how long?
26 years.
26. I told people 23. I was off.
26 this June, so it's almost 26.
My God. And you own a business together, and you've been together 26 years. Longest relationship for both of you, right?
Yes. Yes,
true. Yeah, Diane, I know. You had another one that was 20-something also.
Mm-hmm.
What's the secret?
Well, we're looking at each other, hoping the other one tells you. I don't know. You know, I think that relationships ebb and flow, and that when you're in a ebb, you have to really think about the fact that this is a really special person and start remembering what it was that made you decide to be together in the first place.
Hmm. And that's what keeps the glue together for 26 years? No.
No.
Therapist?
Everybody needs a couples therapist. Doesn't mean you need to go all the time, but when you hit a real bump in the road, I think you have to be committed. And I think that sex has to be a really important part of your relationship.
Wait a minute. Lesbians have sex at 26 years together, Bernadette?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's what keeps us going when we have an argument or we drift a little apart. We always come together in bed, literally.
Wow.
And that's a big secret. And the other part of it is to just...
You are killing the whole myth of lesbian bed death right now.
Not for us. Not for us. It's a big part of our life. It always has been. And we really like each other. We talk a lot. We try to communicate. We are opposites as far as I love sports. She doesn't love sports. I love musicals. She tolerates them. I love poker. She hates cards. But we work it out.
She reads.
She reads.
You
don't read. I don't read. I have to be careful. I told someone a month ago, I don't read. And they said, well, you could still learn. And I said, no, I know how to read. I just don't like to read.
Oh, that's so funny.
But I get all my news on the internet and watching MSNBC.
Wow. All right. So 26 years. I know you've got kids, too, right? Diane,
yes.
You've got how many kids?
Two.
Plus two.
And now they're full grown, and are about to have kids, no?
No kids.
Okay. Gang, we are just, that is so sweet. Here in studio, we have just been joined by Tyler and Spiro.
Good morning, everybody.
Welcome to the show, you guys.
Let's give them a round of applause.
Give them a round of applause. Tyler and Spiro are here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So, Tyler and Spiro, this is Diane and Bernadette. They've been together 26 years.
Hi, guys.
And
hi.
How long have you two been together?
3 years.
3 years.
And it's like 20 years in gay time.
I think that's true.
And 40 years in male gay time.
Yep.
Spiro is a go-go dancer. Where? Mickey's or Revolver?
Dance Mickey's, Revolver. Now I bar back, too.
Okay. And Tyler has been voted best bartender in L.A., I think, 2 years in a row, and you're at the Flaming Saddles, right?
I am. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. So you two are in these, like, sexually charged environments, right? The nightlife of WeHo. Every night, one of you is half naked, the other is getting tips. And does that in any way impact or imperil your relationship?
Well, when Spiro first got on the scene and we were getting him jobs and gigs everywhere, the first thing I would say when I'd drop him off in his underwear, I'd say, go make friends, go get phone numbers, go get contacts, go have fun and be free and you're totally fine. Because I was confident in myself that I knew that like I was the best that he could get. Because I knew that I was going to help him and guide him on the right path. And with my confidence of saying, you're fine, go have fun, be free. But I'm picking you up at exactly 2:01 every night. I would never miss a beat and make sure that he would always come back home to me. And then we would share all of our adventures.
Me, on the other hand, dancing, it was like terrifying for me. I don't know why. I just was self-conscious, and then I just, on top of it, I just didn't, I don't know.
Well, because I think a lot of men are inappropriate, right? They're touching you and trying to grab them, putting dollars in your underwear.
Of course, yeah. I mean, it was fun. I enjoyed it. It entertained a lot of people, and I did have fun with it at the bar. Everyone was really sweet and cool and admired me, but I also, just first time getting up and dancing, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do this in my underwear.
How funny. Now, these women over here have been together 26 years.
Wow.
And they were sharing the secrets of 26 years before you two walked in. What would you tell the guys? They're 3 years. Look at them. They're, how old are you guys? 20 what? 20?
I'm 30. I just turned
30. You're 30.
Oh, 29.
29 and 30 at the beginning of young love.
I thought you were going to ask us, and I wasn't going to ask.
What wisdom would you have to tell these guys if they want to get to 26 years?
You have to like each other. You have to enjoy doing things together. You have to decide that the pros outweigh the cons when you're having a tough time. You have to find a good couples therapist for the hard times. And you have to decide that you're committed to this relationship and that the most important person in your life is the other, that they're your best friend, your best lover, the person you would go to the ends of the earth for. They have your back. And yet you're separate people.
And good sex.
And good sex. And good. Okay, and on that, coming up next, gang, when we come back, we'll be hearing more from Tyler and Spiro and Bernadette and Diane about love in the LGBTQ community here on Channel Q. All right, my lesbian lovers, do either of you know who that was singing? I know the millennials know. Let's see. Bernadette? Not a clue.
Not a clue.
Diane?
I'm
not a clue.
Please.
All right, Tyler, Spiro, tell her.
Rihanna.
That's Rihanna.
Oh, actually, we like her.
All right, so we've got two different generations going on here. Diane, you came out in the
70s.
Wow. Bernadette, you've always been out.
I've always been out.
Spiro and Tyler, of course, weren't around in the 70s. I'm just going to point out. So let me ask the guys, when you were first coming out in the 2010s, I guess, do you think you'd find love and marriage?
Honestly, that congrats to them. I mean, that's amazing that they came out in the 70s. That's crazy, different time.
Dark times.
I can't imagine. But I know just coming out, when I came out, when I first came out, I didn't know what to think or how to process a relationship. It was very foreign. I didn't think that it was ever going to be, honestly.
Yeah, you know, and then you're growing up in Pennsylvania, right? Mm-hmm. In a very Greek family, I assume.
Very, very Greek.
Religious Greek family. And they thought that you'd marry a woman and have kids and do all that
thing. The whole what's supposed to be normal lifestyle and expected. But honestly, I didn't think. I thought I was going to have to hide for the rest of my life.
You didn't think you'd find this lumberjack from Oregon in your life. And Tyler, when you were growing up in Oregon, you think you'd find love in marriage?
Well, my plan was to find love, never come out of the closet, move to California, and just like have two lives. So I had like secret boyfriends. Like his name was Devin, but his code word was Ashley whenever like friends and family were around. And Ashley didn't have a picture phone or a MySpace or any photos of her, and she was totally incognito. And my mom was like, "Who is Ashley? Why won't you let me meet her? Is she a criminal? Is she pregnant? Is she on America's Most Wanted? Is she a guy?" And then I finally broke down. I was like, "She's a guy." And then I started bawling. And then she was like, "Oh my God, I had no idea. Oh my God, let's go inside. Let's do a shot."
And your mom says, "I had no idea," but she's asking you, "Is it a guy?"
Yeah.
She had an idea.
I played with a lot of dolls growing up, so I'm sure she knew.
So Diane, being raised in Brooklyn in an Orthodox Jewish family in New York, you probably were expected to...
Married. Oh, and I did.
And you did. You
and
married
did.
A man, and you had two sons. And
I had two children. Wow.
And then you decided.
I fell in love, not the first time, probably the third, with a woman. And
busy lady.
That was her wife that said that, by the way, gang. That wasn't me.
Being married, not the first time, the second one. Wow.
Did you think that you would end up marrying a woman in your lifetime?
No. I did not. I never thought that marriage would be a possibility. Seriously, when I did finally come out, it was the dark ages. I mean, there was nothing. None of the organizations that existed today existed then. And it was very hard. So I had two little boys, okay? And the first group I found that was a lesbian group was in Ocean Park, Venice. And I went to the meeting, and it was a separatist group, and I didn't even know what that was. And they said, well, we believe that all women who have boy children should give them up.
Wow. So did you enroll in that organization, or did you walk out?
I walked out. I was feeling really sad because I thought that when I came out, it would not only be freeing for me as a lesbian, but it would be freeing for me as a woman, that I would be then in a group, lesbians, where I could be strong, independent, and not follow the culture of the religion I was raised in. Mm. And it turned out to not be that way, because I am a very feminine woman. And so it was very defined in butch and femme. And it really mirrored so much the non-gay culture at the time. And so I decided to organize the Femmes. And so I came up with a slogan, Femmes Unite, Down with Dykes.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
Please address your complaint letters to Ms. Diane Abbott, not to Sidebar with John Duran. Thank you very much. Okay, so you guys all came out at various times. And there's a dynamic that happens along the line of gender, that men are supposed to be the dominant one in the relationship. Women are supposed to be the submissive one in the relationship. That's what the culture dictates. For LGBT people, none of that works. So how is power and decision-making made in each of your relationships? Do you compromise? Is there more of a dom and a femme, to quote Diane Abbott? Or how does the relationship dynamic work? We'll start with Bernadette, because she's like biting at the bit over there.
Diane makes most of the decisions.
Oh my God! So not
clearly
true.
Diane disagrees.
Oh my
Where's
God.
That Ken Howard, the therapist? Let's get the therapist back in the studio. We have some live therapy needed.
She plans our social calendar. She tells me who we're going out with. We're making new friends.
And she whines.
And I keep saying, we have enough friends. I don't want to make a new one. And I complain and I go and I have a good time. The financial decisions are all mine, because I don't know about you, John, as an attorney, but most attorneys are terrible with money.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I take care of the financial, and the rest we kind of compromise on. You know, we like different movies, we like different things, and she loves to watch the news, which I hate at night, because I don't care who got killed and who got raped, and she watches all that and then wants to go to sleep.
And she watches MSNBC constantly.
I love this!
And I would just like to say that after a while, you've already heard it five times, it's enough!
Okay. Spiro, Tyler, what about you guys? How's power shared or decisions made?
I believe versatile boys have more fun, so we take turns being in charge and control, and we both know our strengths and what we're good at. I'm good. He's good at cleaning. He's good at organizing. He's good at financial stuff. I'm good at making messes and spending money and having a lot of fun.
The lesbians are nodding their head, and they're both agreeing with everything Tyler is saying, and they're identifying the role.
Yeah. But it's all about give and take and sharing and, you know,
listening.
Compromising and listening.
Yeah, because I know how I am. I react real quick to things as far as temper-wise, or I try to calm down, because Tyler's very calm. He's a very chill person, so I listen to his advice, and he's good at calming me down. I get very anxiety a lot. But as far as he knows my strengths, so he tends to lean on me for my strengths, and I think the power is kind of equally split, just to level us out as people.
He's got the passion. He's passionate about everything, whether it's really happy or really angry about it, and it's so entertaining for me.
Okay, so I'm getting the pattern here. You see, Tyler and Diane are the cerebral thinkers, and Bernadette and Spiro are the Greek and the Italian. You are playing out your cultures perfectly.
I love it.
That is awesome. All right, Tyler and Spiro, are you married? Yeah.
Not yet.
3 years. You don't need to.
I'm waiting for the proposal to be something special. I want it to be a surprise, and I want it to be memorable and magical and something that can never be topped or beat.
I wait for it. Because I'm excited for it.
So he's like, where the hell is my ring? Constantly.
Okay, so in, again, traditional culture, it's supposed to be the guy getting down on one knee in front of the girl, will you marry me? And that whole, again, it's a reversal of submission and domination. That's the cultural thing, right? Take you for my wife. In these couples, that doesn't work. So, Bernadette, Diane, who asked who to marry who?
Diane asked me to marry her.
How many years?
How many years ago?
Oh, no, no. This was back. Oh, I know why. Because you thought Prop 8 was going to pass, or?
No. I said I wouldn't get married. I didn't want to get married during the Prop 8, during the window. I wanted to get married when marriage was completely legal. So we did talk about it during Prop 8.
I had asked you during Prop 8, and you said, no, I'm working so hard, and I believe in it so much that if I get married now, it's like I don't believe it's going to pass, so we're going to wait.
You guys are making your decision on politics and finance. You notice they just shared about romance and tenderness and the right moment. And you think that's a function of the time that you've each spent together rather than gender or culture?
Well, I think we were, you know, we had a home together. We had been together 20 years already. And, you know, if we were newlyweds, or I would think that we would have probably ran and got married like a lot of people did. But we knew we were, if not on paper, we were forever soulmates and going to be together. So we didn't see the rush. Yeah. And we did bring politics into it, of course, like everything we do.
Mm-hmm. Coming up next, gang, when we come back, Spiro is going to teach Diane how to be a go-go dancer. Thanks for tuning in here on Channel Q. Gang, I picked that song for one of our guests. That's for Bernadette Abruzzi, because I know how much she loves Whitney Houston. I will always love you.
Thank you.
It's our Valentine's show, and we are visiting with Bernadette Abruzzi, Diane Abbott, lesbian lovers and wives for 26 years, and Spiro Galanopoulos. Did I do that right?
You did.
Look at me. And Tyler Booth, young gay millennial lovers, together 3 years. And before we enter up for the break, we were talking about the issue of marriage, but let's talk about sex, because obviously that is what makes us different from the rest of the world. I mean, is sex something that, okay, let me start the conversation. I'll start the awkwardness.
Okay.
My current partner and I were completely monogamous for the first 8 years. Yeah. Then the lines got blurry. The lines got blurry and continue to be blurry. Is that, for lesbians, the joke is, what does a lesbian bring to a second date? The U-Haul, because they're going to like move in and start a relationship, and they're ready to marry and nest and monogamy. Is monogamy something that is easier based on gender, or is it negotiable, or what happens when people cheat? Because, you know, clearly we've all been in relationships where people have been unfaithful, and how painful that is. I'm just opening up the whole issue, because it's really more than about sex. It's about communication, honesty, openness, trust. Who wants to start?
You start.
Diane.
Ladies first.
Thank you, Ben. So I think defining boundaries when you first get into a relationship, I finally learned, is very important. And we talked about this when we got into the relationship. And our boundary, it's just not just mine. I mean, this is our boundary. If you decide you want to have an open relationship, you need to come and talk about it first. It's the cheating, when you are with someone who cheats and lies to you about it, is what's awful. Being honest in a relationship, telling the truth, I think is key to one of the things that keeps the relationship going. So we made that commitment. It was the only rule that we started out with, but it was the most important, I think, for both of us.
You'd both been in relationships where there was cheating, right?
Yes.
You both were with other women, right?
Yes.
So you learned that lesson along the way.
Yeah, like Diane said, it's not the sex part is okay. You know, that's but it's the lying and the cheating that goes along with it. Now you're sitting next to somebody you're in love with, and you're, what did you do for lunch today? You start lying.
Letitia.
That's the point. We talked about it. We said we both knew, you know, we were both out of our relationships when we met each other, or close to it. And we decided that, you know, if that happens, we need to go to the other person and say, is that okay? Or we're going to just walk away from each other, because the lying is what really gets to you. Yeah. Sex is easy. It's easy to have sex with anybody. So you have to come home and lie about it to your partner. You're laying in bed and you're like holding each other and you're like, God, I feel it's like such an ass that, you know, I want to tell.
Boys?
I definitely know that firsthand. When I first met Spiro, I was a dog. And I was having sex with a lot of people everywhere. And for me to turn that off was really difficult, to go from being single and go-go dancing everywhere and living my life to I just met a guy and he moved in with me and we're spending every day together constantly. To turn off that animal instinct was very difficult. And within the first 3-4 months, maybe even longer, I was cheating on Spiro. Mm-hmm. But he never asked. But when he did, it was like pulling teeth, but I told the truth. I never lied about it. And that was the only reason he's sitting next to me to this day, was because it was truthful about everything that I've done, and I've owned it. Wear my battle scars with pride to show the world it's not worth it. It's definitely not worth it. And you can grow with that to help make the relationship a lot stronger.
I agree. I had been in relationships prior to that, and I think it was more the lying and just putting me at risk for things, and then also just the constant lying really hurt, and then, you know, making me believe that I was insane. But this time, you know, we communicated better, and he shared everything and was truthful, and, you know, we talked about it for a long time, and it was rough, but, you know, I think it was more the honesty and the communication was key to, you know, keeping the relationship. Plus, you really love someone. You just feel it. I don't know.
And we've been having the bombest sex ever. Like, it's the top.
Apparently,
of the line.
So are the lesbians in 26 years.
So it's like when the cheating happened, it was more like just animal instinct. Like, oh, I'm a man. I have to spread my seed to everybody. That's how the human race survived, because we got everybody pregnant. But after a while, when you like can turn that switch off, it's like I can have the best sex ever, anywhere with one person, because there's that emotional connection that you can't share with anybody else.
But I think it's anyone's their preference in a relationship too, is if, you know, I like you said, just communicating basically and making sure you have your boundaries and everyone understands their place is being good in a relationship. I don't think it has to be one way or the other. I don't think it's wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because different things work for everybody else. So it's not wrong.
I think this is the one issue or lesson we can teach heterosexual people, by the way. Yeah. I think this can be our gift to heterosexual people about relationships, love, and sex. I know I've had many relationships over the years. And when I was heartbroken once, I was telling my mother, God rest her soul, about how horrible it was and why couldn't I have monogamy like you and Dad? And she laughed and she goes, do you remember when we went to live with grandma for about 6 months when you were kids? I'm like, oh, I thought we were on vacation. Oh, she goes, God. No, your dad was. I'm like, oh, no. But somehow they worked through it. They worked through it, right? Stayed together for 50 some years. Yeah.
It's just the stigma that you're taught. I don't think that's love in specific. You know, I think love is trusting and listening to someone and understanding what works for you.
And it's a lot harder nowadays, because back like when our grandparents first met, it's like, oh my God, you're cool. Let's stay together constantly, because if I lose you, I'll never find you again, because we don't have phones or internet or anything. Nowadays with Facebook, MySpace, Instagram, Twitter, Grindr, Tinder, Bumble, whatever they all are, we can all stay connected telepathically throughout everyone around us and the whole world. So it makes it a lot harder to have a committed monogamy relationship. But the end all be all is the reward of being monogamous. Monogamy is uncomparable. And it's very important, especially the first 8 years of the relationship. I don't know where we'll be 8 years from now. But
we'll have you back on the sidebar in eight years and see what's going on 8 years from now. That's wild. You know, we I hate to like not give equal time to the one heterosexual in the room, but Jason, listening to this conversation, I know there's certain rules. You're straight and you're Muslim and you're single.
Yes, thank you.
All those things. Listening to this discussion, what does it make you think about your own? What do you want to do? What do you want to do when you grow up, Jason?
What do you mean? I'm already grown up,
with a woman. Because I imagine there's incredible pressure in the Muslim community. You're supposed to get married, have kids, and do all that, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it's not pressure to me, in my opinion. Like that's a normal thing in my mind. Like, find somebody that you are meant to be with, connect with them, grow old with them, and have kids with them. It's a normal thing.
And monogamy?
Absolutely.
Because?
It's simpler.
That's actually a good point. It is simpler. That's actually a good point. Yeah. All right. Coming up next, gang, when we come back, we'll have the closing end of our Valentine's Day session. Thank you for tuning in here on Channel Q.